Well, we're also following the fight of the Supreme Court today over access to the abortion pill mifepristone. This is the first major abortion case at the court since overturning Roe v. Wade in 2022. And it's looking at a drug commonly used in medication abortions, which are now nearly two-thirds of abortions in the U.S. Plaintiffs are asking justices to decide the safety of the Food and Drug Administration's moves in 2016 and 2021 that expanded access to the drug. Those expansions allowed providers to mail it and women to take it during the first 10 weeks of a pregnancy, not just the first seven. Dahlia Lithwick writes about law and the courts for Slate. She hosts the podcast Amicus and has been following the court today. Thanks for being here, Dahlia.
Hi there, Robin.
So mifepristone, it's the first of two pills taken in a medication abortion. In a lower court, the plaintiffs argued that drug isn't safe. The Texas judge there agreed, overturned the FDA's approval of it. An appeals court then ruled too much time had passed to do that, but it did uphold some of the Texas rollbacks of expansion of the use. So bring us to today. What arguments are the plaintiffs making in the Supreme Court today?
There's essentially two arguments, and one, you have to kind of get out the starting gate to even get to the second, which is whether, you know, the FDA approval was regular and safe. Mm-hmm. And the threshold that you have to get to first is, does somebody have standing in this case, which mm-hmm. is sort of the legal notion that you can't walk into a courtroom and just say, I don't like something. Somebody has to be able to say there is some cognizable harm that will come to me if this isn't stopped. And that standing question is the one that the court really spent the bulk of the day on today, sort of deep doubts across the political spectrum whether anyone had been sufficiently harmed by the licensing and expansion of mifepristone to be able to come into court and demand that it be stopped.
And how did that feel and look and sound to you? I mean, what kind of things were they saying? You know, we hear you that the plaintiffs don't seem to have any cases where they were harmed by taking this pill.
Right. The plaintiffs are an amalgam of mostly physicians who come together and say, look, we may someday face a situation wherein somebody else prescribes mifepristone to a patient and that patient has adverse consequences and they end up in my ER, and then, and only then, I have to do something that violates my religious conscience and I have to be kind of complicit in an abortion. And if that sounds like it's awfully speculative, if it's a chain of maybe, maybe, maybes, that's exactly how it seemed to land at the court today. And as I suggested, even the justices who probably have no love for abortion medication or mifepristone specifically, even justices like Kavanaugh, like Amy Coney Barrett, like the Chief Justice, Neil Gorsuch, all really, I think, loud and clear said that is way too speculative a harm. And if you're going to try to protect that handful of physicians, you can do it in a much more tailored fashion than getting rid of mifepristone across the country for everyone.
Right. Well, but then you mentioned the other hurdle the plaintiffs are trying to make, which is that, you know, does the FDA have the authority to okay a drug like mifepristone? And in this case, did it, you know, do it wrongly? Is the drug safe? And Samuel Alito had this question for Jessica Ellsworth. She's the attorney for Danco Labs. They make mifepristone.
The statement was made that no court has ever previously second-guessed the FDA's judgment about access to a drug, right? And it's never second-guessed that.
That's correct.
You think the FDA is infallible?
No, Your Honor.
Well, that prompted a later question from Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Do you think that courts have specialized scientific knowledge with respect to pharmaceuticals, and as a company that has pharmaceuticals, do you have concerns about judges parsing medical and scientific studies?
Yes, Your Honor.
So there's the divide, Dahlia. Who's the expert, a judge or a government agency? Tell us more about that.
Right. And I think heaped over and above that, and we heard this both from Danco, the drug manufacturer, and from Elizabeth Prelogar, who is the representative of the government in this case, both of them heaped on top of those doubts about who is the best decider of scientific and medical evidence, is the question that there was a lot of evidence in this case that came from, like, anonymous blog posts and scientific journals that had been withdrawn. And so I think the double down argument isn't just should we, the courts, be the decider, but really are we going to decide based on what looks like in a lot of cases junk science? And isn't science and the FDA specifically better situated to make those decisions? And as you suggested, I think with the exception of Justice Alito, who really felt that somebody somewhere should have standing to sue the FDA, that really across the boards, I think, was the sense today that we don't want to be the ones who are second guessing how efficacious and how dangerous a drug is.
Yeah, look, there are so many questions that might flow from the court's decision, although it sounds, we've spoken to a couple people today, it sounds as if they're leaning perhaps against siding with the plaintiffs. But we know that states are stockpiling, states that still have abortion rights are stockpiling mifepristone. So do you make guesses? I don't know if you want to do that. Hazard a guess.
I think the two guesses I might hazard that are illuminated from this morning's arguments are, one, certainly some of the conservatives seem to be laying the groundwork for, you bring us a better plaintiff who has a better argument for standing, let's say a state that can allege tangible harms, and we're here for it. So I think that's going to come down the pike. The other thing that was a little alarming was references to the Comstock Act, which is an anti-vice chastity law from 1873. And two justices were very interested in reviving that today.
We will pick that up later with Dahlia Lithwick. Thank you. It's Here and Now.